It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Xian Chang has supported independent tech news directly for about a day. Why not be like Chang and become a DTNS member at patreon.com/DTNS.
This is the Daily Tech News for Wednesday, May 29th, 2019 in Los Angeles. I'm Tom Merritt.
And from Studio Feline, I'm Sarah Lane.
From Salt Lake City, I'm Scott Johnson.
And from parts in LA County, I'm the show's producer, Roger Chang.
We are going to look at some of the crazy form factors coming to laptops, as inspired by some announcements, particularly one from Intel at Computex, which is happening in Taiwan. But let's start with a few tech things you should know.
Huawei has filed a motion for summary judgment in its lawsuit that seeks to declare that the 2019 National Defense Authorization Act is unconstitutional, and that act was passed last summer and prevents federal agencies and their contractors from using Huawei equipment. This is an older and separate act from more recent restrictions enacted by the president, Huawei's chief legal officer, Song Liping, on Wednesday said that the company was reviewing ways to fight the other U.S. trade restrictions.
Uber announced that riders in Canada and the U.S. may risk being deactivated from the service if their rider ratings fall significantly and chances to improve ratings. Oh, sorry, below their city's average, rather. Riders will receive several notifications and chances to improve their ratings before being deactivated. Might say terminated. Anyway, Uber will offer tips to riders encouraging polite behavior and cleanliness.
Short version, don't poop in your Uber. It's a true Uber story. Yeah. Taiwan's MediaTek announced a 5G-compatible 7-nanometer system on a chip meant for lower-end devices. The integrated 5G SoC combines MediaTek's M70 5G modem with ARM's Cortex A77 CPU and the Mali G77 GPU. Nokia, or really the folks that make the handsets for Nokia under the brand, and Oppo handsets often use the MediaTek chips. These aren't necessarily competitive with Qualcomm, but they are other 5G chips out there. The first products with the chips in them are expected at the beginning of 2020. All right, let's talk about a non-laptop tool being showed off at Computex. Scott?
Well, let's talk about Logitech, an old brand we all know and love and refuse to call Logi. They have a nifty new tool for virtual reality artists, people who like to work in VR and do creative stuff. The Logitech VR Ink Stylus brings fine motor control for creating in virtual reality. Logitech is showing the tech off this week at the Augmented World Expo, the AR and mixed reality event that is in Santa Clara, California. Vadim Kogan, head of partnerships and business development for AR/VR for mixed reality at Logitech, said at the conference, quote, "Most creators were trained in school and universities how to draw with a pencil and paper," he said. That's a very simple way of putting that. Anyway, and today you are able to do the same thing in VR. It's simple, natural, and an extension of your hand. Everybody knows how to write and how to hold it. That's the end of that quote. Right now, it only works with Steam VR tracking and the HTC Vive. Logitech will work with creativity software companies to integrate the Logitech VR Ink technology into their software so it can work with various 3D models and other stuff. It already integrates with Google Tilt Brush, a VR art program. But again, that will only work on the HTC Vive currently. One would expect Oculus hardware and the upcoming Valve Index to also support this device.
You're an artist, Scott. Does this appeal to you?
Very much so. So they mentioned Tilt Brush in here. It is an incredibly creative experience. I especially like it in the new Oculus Quest, given how sort of free and untethered you are. And you can sort of design your own inside out sort of space to work in. And I think it just adds to the creativity to have less holding you down. To bring a device into that world that is less of a claw machine controller, which those controllers are really cool. I'm not, you know, talking smack about those or the Vive or anything else. They're all neat for what they do, but they're not really analogous to a real world drawing implement. So if we want to feel that way, we got to introduce things that are a little bit more stylus-y, and what they're showing off here certainly looks like that. So
do you draw in the middle of the air though? Cause I feel like that'd be hard. You don't have anything to push against.
I know it seems strange, yeah. But and there is a little bit of like depth issues, like some of your stuff's out a little further than the stuff you put behind it and you didn't really notice till you got around and looked at it. But the idea that some of this upcoming software could like flatten some of that stuff and make up for that is okay. Also, there's the chance of I forgot the name of the word, haptic feedback. That's what I meant. Mm-hmm. It will tell you kind of when you're going in or out of a space. It's still kind of untested space. I also think sculpture has a lot of potential with a pen device. So I think Logitech is looking at a very niche audience that will grow, and I'm personally excited about it.
All right.
Apple made a public post defending the App Store in the face of an EU antitrust investigation and the recent U.S. Supreme Court decision allowing app purchasers to file lawsuits against Apple over antitrust. Okay, so Apple says 60% of approximately 1,000 1,000 apps reviewed each week are approved, with rejections largely due to minor bugs or privacy concerns. Apple also lists the number of App Store alternatives to its core apps in order to show that it is not stopping competition, though it does not mention that none of the apps can be chosen as defaults. Apple also points out that developers can distribute apps or other app stores, smart TVs, gaming consoles, and the open internet.
Yeah, 60% of 100,000 apps doesn't seem like a big success rate. They also put a big category up called readers. These are apps where users exclusively purchase or subscribe to content outside the app. That's not a benefit. That's a thing that people are trying to avoid Apple taking a cut of their money to do. I did not feel, and I don't know how y'all felt, but I did not feel like Apple did a great job defending stuff.
No, but man, do you ever think we'll enter a future, Tom, where Apple has their stuff worked out to the point that nobody's trying to fight the App Store anymore? I feel like the App Store since day one has been this legal battleground, and I don't know, various regions, our own country, and certainly in the EU, where everybody's always saying Apple's unfair with the way they're doing a thing. And I feel like I'm weirdly tired of it. And I don't mean this story particularly, but just the overall feeling that Apple can never get it right in the App Store space.
Yeah, I think there's room to have a discussion about whether Apple's policies go overboard. I think the one requiring you not to mention that you sell something somewhere else at all in your app unless you let Apple take a cut overreaches. That said, Apple posted this to say this is our defense. So I think it's fair game to say, well, is it really? Is it really a good defense of yourself? I'm not sure it achieved what they expected it to achieve.
Yeah. Well, time as always will tell with those guys, but I know this is a totally unrelated thing. I guess we don't know this, but as soon as they come out and are final with their arcade thing, I feel like we're going to have a whole slew of new reasons why people are going to be mad at them, and they'll be bad at defending that. So really looking forward to a new generation of App Store hate coming up.
Amazon announced a smaller version of its Echo Show 5, or of its Echo Show, called the Echo Show 5. It's a voice assistant with a 5.5-inch screen, a camera with a shutter for privacy, and a speaker for $90. An optional magnetic stand so you can position that camera better sells for $20. The new Echo Show 5 is available for pre-order, shipping to the United Kingdom, Germany, France, Italy, Spain, Japan, Canada, New Zealand, Australia, and the United States in June and coming to India in July. Amazon also announced a new feature that lets you tell your Amazon voice assistant, delete what I said today, and it'll clear out everything from the past day from its records. An additional command that says, delete what I just said, to delete immediately after you said something, is coming over the next month. You can do all these deletions in the app, but this is allowing you easier control over that by giving you more options.
I want one, and I don't know why. I think I was talking to the show this morning on TMS when you came by, and I had mentioned that, and you said, well, what is it about it? And you reminded me, well, hey, it's a smaller screen, so do you want to get your old larger screen? Is that not important to you? And I realized, I guess it's not. I think I like a smaller, sleeker, updated device, and I think I'm going to replace the one I have. I also think the price is right. Like, this is a much lower price than the traditional versions of the show have gone for. And I don't think screen size matter to me. I need it mainly for reference. It's like, look up and see what time it is, quickly check, see what song's playing and what's that lyric I just heard, whatever it is. Those are all possible with this. It's still got the camera and the option to shut that off. Like, this feels like the generation of show I would get if I didn't already have one. So I'm just on the fence as one who already owns, but it seems like a nice time for somebody to jump in. And hopefully sound wise, it's still good, because that's a big concern for folks with music and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, Amazon has a way of making me want all their dumb Echoes, and I don't know why.
Well, and you know, all of that said, the fact that Amazon's like, hey, we'll let you also like delete all of your, you know, everything that you've said to the Echo, you know, to this point, is, I mean, it kind of makes me laugh a little bit, but at the same time, like, it is, that is actually a problem that people have.
Yeah. And so making it easier for people to access that is definitely a play to people's fears, who are like, I don't want one of these things in my house because it'll log everything. Well, this is trying to help people feel better about that, I guess.
Well, it's two points of trying to do that. There's that, and then there's this camera switch. And I have friends.
Oh, right, the shutter on the small one. Yeah.
Yeah. And I have friends who still won't believe that'll do anything. I have friends who think that if you'd put tape over that hole, then you're doing it wrong. But I think this is a nice step in the right direction. I would appreciate it. I don't like that it's looking at me all the time, to be honest. And I trust these things. So it'll all work out in the end. In a blog post about new PCs announced at Computex, Microsoft's Nick Parker describes something called modern OS that seems to be distinct from Windows 10. This modern OS includes seamless updates done in the background with no interruptions, is secure by default. It's a short definition of security. Anyway, separating compute from applications, is always connected, long battery life, powered by AI, with multiple inputs like pen, voice, and gaze awareness, and awareness of multiple form factors. Very similar to Chrome OS. Parker says Microsoft is investing in this vision of a modern OS. That's pretty interesting. I don't necessarily see this as like, hey, this is the new version of Windows, everybody back up, because Microsoft's got a thin client coming, that's your new version of Windows. More likely this is, you know, nice embedded software for lots of devices and applications outside of your desktop, and seems cool.
That said, okay, I mean, if Windows 10 is not, you know, like, why is this different than Windows 10? Why does the company want this to be distinct from Windows 10?
Yeah, it's a good question. There's been a lot of rumors about a Windows Lite to compete with Chrome OS. And remember when they tried to make Windows 10S available as sort of a Chrome OS competitor, but you could still run full Windows 10. And so everybody just immediately turned it into full Windows 10. I think this is meant for those lower cost computers, to say, this is for when you want a Chrome OS like experience. We're going to have a modern OS that doesn't have the baggage of Windows 10 for people who don't need Windows 10. It sounds like they're taking very small steps towards what they were trying to achieve with Windows 10S, by creating something that doesn't have the baggage of Windows 10S, because it doesn't have Windows 10 in it.
Maybe even closer to something like Windows RT, which was even a thinner client, a more iOS-styled approach to tablets. This is maybe even closer to that, certainly closer to Chrome OS.
I've got a Windows OT device right here.
Of course you do.
You've not charged. That tells you a lot about Windows RT.
Yeah. But I, you know, why not? Thinner clients, more devices. This seems like a smart thing to do. Everybody's got their little secondary OS. Why not Microsoft? Let's go.
Yeah. And when we talk about the laptops in a second, think about this modern OS as maybe running on some of those. Might make some more sense. Mm. Car tech maker Automatic announced it is ending support for its first and second generation ODB2 adapters, often called the Classic or Legacy and the Silver adapters, and disabling their companion apps after August 31st. The second gen model came out 4 years ago. The other one came out 6 years ago. The company encourages the owners of these older models to buy its new $100 LTE adapter, which comes with an optional $5 a month subscription. They're also sending some discount codes, so it wouldn't cost you totally $100. But it's one thing to say, hey, we're no longer going to support this older piece of equipment. Happens all the time. People with phones, both Android and iOS, know this situation. Your phone doesn't stop working. You just, you know, may have bugs happen more often along the way. This is different. And I did some digging to try to figure out why they would shut down an app instead of let you just keep using it. It's because there's no local storage. Your data, from what I can tell, is all stored in the cloud, and it doesn't seem like it's stored locally because all of their instructions on how to manage your data collected by this are in the cloud. And if you don't know what Automatic does, it collects like the miles per hour you drive, your location, tries to estimate fuel consumption. A lot of people like to use it for that. It can also read the diagnostic codes that your car maintenance professional might read. Some people like to see that too. It can do a bunch of other things, and you want to store that data. Well, not only are they storing it in the cloud, but they're also selling it to third parties. And the only way to opt out of it being sold to third parties is to email them support@automatic.com. All that goes back to the fact that they are shutting down this app and turning two versions of their previous products into unusable products because they want to sell information to third parties. Otherwise, they could have spent the money to make your information available locally in these apps. I guess there's an argument to say they didn't want to spend the money on that either, but because they have a cloud system, they can sell data to third parties, which is a revenue stream for them. So in other words, your use of this without that monetization option isn't worth it for Automatic.
Hmm. A pre-show, Roger had floated the whole planned obsolescence phrase. Do you think that holds any water here or anything?
I think people overuse that. I don't generally think most companies sit there and plan to make something obsolete because they know about the backlash. It's just not a good business plan. I think what happens is companies don't mind if something goes obsolete, or as in this case, they feel like they have to make it obsolete because of another business model, not because they just want to sell more devices. It's because of that revenue stream. Otherwise, they wouldn't risk the backlash that they are absolutely getting for making these older versions useless after August 31st. Mm. Hey, folks, if you want to get all the tech headlines each day in about 5 minutes, be sure to subscribe to dailytechheadlines.com. All right, back on May 14th, a couple weeks ago, we talked about Lenovo's foldable Windows PC. That was a 13.3-inch 4x3 2K OLED display that kind of folded in half. It was billed as a laptop. I kind of felt like it was more of a tablet that folded in half. That same day, HP launched a 15-inch dual-screen gaming laptop that had a secondary 6-inch 1080p screen right above the keyboard, like on the same panel as the keyboard. The Omen X2S is available in June, starting at $2,100. Now, at Computex this week, Asus showed off the ZenBook Pro Duo with a 15-inch 16x9 OLED 4K panel and a half-height 32x9 IPS 4K screen pad plus that is sitting right above the keys on your keyboard, can be used as a control panel if you want, although it also has a trackpad, or it's more often going to be used as a secondary display. It can even be turned into two 16x9 1080p windows. That's expected in Q3 with no price. But to top that, Intel showed off a reference design. Now, Intel doesn't make hardware or doesn't make finished products. They make parts. But a lot of times they'll make these reference designs to show how their parts could be used. Intel showed off a reference design dual-screen gaming laptop called Honeycomb Glacier with a 15.6-inch primary screen and a 12.3-inch half-vertical screen. This one doesn't sit on your keyboard, though. It pulls up on a hinge above your keyboard. So you're looking at your main screen, and you just tilt down a little bit to see the secondary screen, and your keyboard's still lying flat. The Asus one, the second screen is lying flat, and I think the HP one as well. So this machine opens like a laptop, tilts up to open that secondary screen, and then you put it at whatever angle you want, and it sticks there because it has a one-way hinge. And when you're ready to close it, you push a little release button, and it releases the hinge, and you can fold it back up. So they suggest, you know, you can put your Slack chat there, your Twitter chat, etc. But the big thing is a Tobii eye tracker that sits in the hinge at about eye level and can tell when you're looking at the second screen to give it focus. So without having to use your mouse, you look at the second screen, type your Twitter respond, go back to the main screen, and your controls are using the main screen again, just by knowing where you're looking. I know, right?
I love this. Yeah. Yeah. If it works well, oh my God.
And that's the thing. These are all
what we've always wanted.
This concept is made with off-the-shelf parts. So a lot of the people who tested it at Computex said, it works most of the time. Maybe it would work all of the time if it was made by a manufacturer. A couple other things here. Also from Intel, Twin River, a dual screen tablet made of fabric, two 12.3-inch 1920 by 1280 touchscreens. HP has a wood inlay on the palm rest in its Envy Wood series of laptops, and Dell said it's working on a dual-screen laptop. So lots of different attempts to capture our imagination with laptops here, mostly revolving around using a second screen.
Yeah, these are neat. They showed some handwriting stuff, which made me, my brain immediately go, ooh, I could draw on this maybe. Maybe this is a new art tool for people potentially. Way too early to tell. Like you said, it's also a prototype without any, you know, manufacturers taking their direct idea and running with it yet. But I love this kind of stuff. And I also like it more than I like the foldable designs. And I don't know why that is. The foldable designs just make me nervous. They make me feel like I'm bending something that shouldn't be bent. And I'll get over that eventually when there's something awesome that doesn't break when you bend it. But for now, like from a productivity angle, the idea of having that secondary screen and it being a touchscreen, I think is a way to embarrass a MacBook Pro. No offense, MacBook Pro, but your cool little control strip there, you're basically saying, take that and blow it up.
MacBook Pros have lots of problems. So.
Yeah, it's not great, right? It's not a perfect solution, but a big control panel size second screen for while you're editing, even if it's just secondary stuff like I'm watching old episodes of Cheers, have it play down there and have that going on up there. And like that, this is a very cool design. And I'm a little bummed that it's not Intel also coming out going, and we're making hardware and here's our first attempt, because I like this design a lot. I think it's neat.
Lenovo and Intel have combined on a few things that have turned into yoga models. Some, not all of them have even come out from Lenovo, but maybe Lenovo gets on board with this. Maybe that's what Dell's working on. Maybe Dell's gonna use this hinge. It feels like the Tobii eye tracking, the hinge, and just the processor being able to hand off between the multiple screens is kind of what Intel's pushing here, and they could put it in whatever form factor it wants, but this is all doable right now. A lot of times Intel prototypes, you're like, man, could they really manufacture that at scale? And this one feels like it could. I mean, do you like the idea of a second screen, Sarah, for things like, you know, when you're editing?
Yeah, actually, I do. You know, it's funny. We've been talking about this whole like, hybrid, two-in-one, whatever, you know, for a couple of years now. And some of the models, I'm like, wouldn't help me. But when it comes to something like editing, you really do need your second screen. You do, and I mean, you can live without it, but it actually would be super helpful.
I think for a lot of the creative professions, like art, anything where two screens works in a desktop setting, could potentially pay off from this. I think a lot of times it gets pushed as gaming. This honeycomb glacier is pushed as gaming because that's a situation where you want to have a full screen of whatever you're doing in the game, but you also want to have your stats or your buttons or your chat available in an easily glanceable thing. And that's, I'm like you, Sarah, that Tobii eye tracking, if they can make that work reliably, I want that to work not just on screens. I want to be able to just look at a window and have my computer know, oh, he's looking at Slack right now. He's not looking at his spreadsheet. So when he types, because I've done this before, I start typing. I'm like, oh, wait, the focus all was day. Still on my spreadsheet. Yeah.
All day.
Yeah, yeah.
That'd be really cool. I also shouldn't talk out of my own wheelhouse here a little bit, but I'll bet you've got listeners who are programmers.
Is that what you call it?
Yeah, that's it. If you've got coders and programmers out there who could respond to this, I'll bet this is good for them because secondary screens are a huge thing for coders, not only because they're very testing code in real time, but sometimes they've got two sets of code running at the same time. And one
guy in the Discord saying remoting into two systems, you need two screens. Yeah.
Yeah. There on the go. I mean, they're already doing this in a desktop environment. So why not have something that's, you know, this usable on the go? I think it sounds great.
Yeah, I there's a few stories here today that are like, laptops are coming back because these are useful form factors. I think tech journalists are just stunned that they're being shown a demonstration that they don't immediately roll their eyes at and go, why would anyone want that? The Twin Rivers, for instance, with the cloth on the outside that makes it look like a book. That one is more what I expect at Computex. Like, okay, maybe people want that. I don't know. But this Intel one particularly does seem to be useful and implemented in a way that's useful. And it's not just everyone jumping on the trend because they all can get the part to make the second screen, which is what I feel like is going on with foldable. Somebody made a foldable screen and they're like, great, let's fold things. What can we fold? And everybody's like, I don't know if I need folding or not. But they're like, but we developed foldable screens. Whereas this feels like, well, second screens have been around for a long time. I guess processors are just getting to the point where they can handle them well. But that's something that people have wanted for a long time, too. So I feel like there's a lot more promise here because of that.
Yeah, and I'll echo that idea that if you want to have, it's okay to have half steps during, you know, iteration of technology. I'm okay with it because I think that stuff's important and it leads to bigger discoveries. And so I'm okay with the weird stuff that never makes it to market or the stuff that makes it to market and doesn't succeed because a lot of times it informs something else that comes later and we get better at it. To me, foldable screens are in that category. And lots of other stuff, but this in particular looks like I could use it now. Like it looks like a useful innovation that takes advantage of lots of little small innovations over time. That's actually something I could get some major use out of. Like there's practical application out of the door for what they're showing. So I am very on the edge of waiting to see what happens, especially from somebody like Dell who.
So you're not waiting to see what happens. You're just on the edge.
I'm just on the edge. I'm sitting on the edge looking down.
Start waiting to see what happens, folks. Stick around.
Speaking of being on the edge, everybody in our subreddit, always on the edge. We love you for it. Submit stories and vote on them at dailytechnewsshow.reddit.com. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/groups/dailytechnewsshow.
Let's check out the mailbag.
Let's do it. Okay. So we got got an email, which was, I think, in reference to yesterday's show. Mm-hmm. Said, y'all were talking about Apple refreshing the iPod Touch. And believe me, there's a major market for the Touch, which might not be obvious. I happen to be in the market, so I know. Many of the largest retailers use iPod Touches as a mobile cash register, including the Apple Store. There are many mobile credit card sleds that attach onto the iPod to take the credit card. Apple has not refreshed this in many years, and a lot of people are probably considering going to Android support, OS updates, patches, etc., as Apple has not come out with a new model since 2015.
Whoa, has it been that long? That's crazy.
Yeah.
Kind of has, yeah.
That's
a lot of emails from people who said that they use these in retail. Petey says he works at a well-known football state university, and they give iPod touches to the maintenance and housekeeping crews. Bruce is working on client engagement in a warehouse transportation environment. Their drivers all have iPhones for use on the road. Brandon was in a Dollar General last week, and they were still using Lumia phones for checking inventory. He's like, maybe they could use iPod touches to upgrade that. There are people in hospitals, liquor store chains. Someone who works there is looking to upgrade the iPod Touches they use there. So point of sale warehouse management seems to be a really big use of the iPod Touch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then Bart wrote in, because I was talking about Sony's proprietary 60-mile range Internet of Thing connectivity system, and I said, there's got to be an open-source version of this. Thank you, Bart. Bart to the rescue. He says, there is an open technology for wide-area IoT devices called LoRaWAN, L-O-R-A, and then WAN, like Wide Area Network. There is an open-source community network to help with interconnecting these devices. LoRa devices are very low bandwidth, just a few bytes per second, with some rate limits in the protocol. It is good for info like temperature, whether a door is opened or closed, IoT kind of things. Generally, these devices have 5 to 7 kilometer distance, but your mileage will vary depending on environment and antenna. And there is a guy who went over 100 kilometers with a LoRa device. You can find out more about it at lora-alliance.org. That's lora-alliance.org.
Thanks to everybody who writes in, and also thanks to Scott Johnson for being with us today, Scott. Let folks know where they can keep up with all of your wonderful work.
Well, June's coming, you guys. I don't know if you can smell it, but I can. June's right around the corner. And as a result, myself and Patrick Beja, another DTNSer, get together once a month and we record the MVGB show. That's the monthly video game briefing. And that's going to be happening next week. And there is tons to talk about. Why? E3 is literally 2 weeks away. And there's tons of gaming stuff happening right now in the newsosphere. And also stuff for just people who may not just be so many games, but maybe they're into the tech around games or the business around games. That's what that show's for. So check it out. That's at frogpants.com/MVGB. And all the old episodes are there. And we got a new one coming up. So watch for that. I'm also at Scott Johnson on Twitter. So come yell at me.
Yeah, do it. Also, with June right around the corner, we're near the point where we have to determine if we met our goal this month of one more patron than last month. You could be that person that puts us over the top. Become a DTNS member and get an ad-free RSS feed, special episodes from myself on how we do the show, how we think about the show, special episodes looking back on tech news of the past, and more.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Claude 3 model family from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point on the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Haiku is the fastest and lowest-cost model in the market, perfectly designed for high-volume, high-speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who trust Anthropic to keep them at the frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude today.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Or sign up at patreon.com/DTNS.
If you have feedback for us, well, we have an email address. feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com is where to send those. We're live Monday through Friday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern, 20:30 UTC. Find out more. Tell a friend at dailytechnewsshow.com/live.
Back tomorrow with Nicole Lee as our guest. Talk to you then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Hi, this is Matt
and Sean
from Two Black Guys
with Good Credit. From a local business to a global corporation.
Partnering with Bank of America gives your operation access to exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful you'll make every move matter.
Visit bankofamerica.com/banking for business to learn more.
What would you like the power to do? Bank of America, N.A., copyright 2024.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.